Welcome to Black and Blue, the podcast that's just for you. We bring solutions to everyday problems. We are here to humanize the badge. By interviewing first responders and discussing their trainings, experiences, publications, Black and Blue airs weekly at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in.
Derek? That's a great question and a great way to start this off, just because I think, you know, where I have been interacting with a lot of private citizens, not just in the local community. I live in Washington State. It's not just here, but across the entire country where I've been able to talk to people and get that feedback. You know, when it comes down to how they feel about law enforcement and a lot of the leadership, and even when they don't speak directly about the leadership, they're talking about cops and their interaction, their experience with them. A lot of that also comes from the culture that's created in those particular departments. And so when you have those types of situations where someone is having a negative experience or something like that, or they've had an experience that they really can't explain, you know, why they feel the way they feel about it. But at the same time, a lot of that also comes from the leadership and how, you know, how they influence their officers to interact with the interact with the public. A lot of times, as you know, it's you know, you might have a certain type of training, but a lot of it is just, this is how we do things here. Right. As opposed to, you know, this is the, you know, these are the best ways we can connect with our community, and not even just the entire community, because, hey, this part of the community or this part of town is going to be like this or that type of thing. And I don't think that that type of conversation is happening a lot. So positive, you know, the positive things are, you know, that I've been able to deal with, like a lot of different, you know, police chiefs and different people in police command, they are eager to want to connect with their communities.
For the staff that we already have, there's so many statistics I could throw out there. One being is that it's 3 times cheaper to train the people you have than to go recruit somebody else.
Yep.
Recruiting incentives to me are literally a waste of money. You know why? Because we're teaching people that it's okay to just chase the money. And then when they leave to the next agency, that's going to give them another $5,000. Then we're like, why did they leave? You know what I mean? I saw an article last year. I think it was Baltimore or DC. $25,000 recruitment bonus. I might go work there for a year for $25,000. I'm not a year and a day, whatever it takes, but then I'm going to go to the next stage. I'm going to go to Miami. Yeah. Then I'm going to go to LA. Then I'm going to go to Houston. So we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot with all these incentives, because who doesn't have an incentive? You know what I mean? And the ones that can't afford the incentives, now we're telling them, well, you get whoever's left over. It's almost like the NIT with basketball, like with the college ball, where people are starting to, or NIL, whatever that
NIL
acronym is.
Yep.
NIL, where people are starting to transfer schools. We just saw that young lady. She's going to her 4th school in 4 years. The money. We get mad at these people for leaving, but we're incentivizing them to leave. You know what I mean? So same thing with us in law enforcement. We're incentivizing people to leave. And when they leave, we're just like, oh, they have no loyalty. That new chief that they're coming to is not saying that. Or that new sheriff. They're not like, you know what? I'm so mad you came here and left your old agency. So we got to get back to getting rid of incentives like that and taking that money and training the staff we have on board right now. Because those that are there are the ones that need it. They deserve it. They've shown loyalty. They've been there through the trenches. They've been through bad leadership and still,
you know, from my life and, you know, from law enforcement and in my personal life that I'm able to share with, you know, private citizens everywhere across this country to help, you know, not only just keep people safe, but also make, you know, continue to be the person that's helping, or one of the people at least that are helping build that bridge between communities and law enforcement. There's a lot of work that can be done, but I am very much optimistic about how it can be done and that it will be done well. You know, coming up, you know, we have, you know, like I said, the National Ambassador Campaign for my book, The Police and Me. Again, you'll be able to, you know, private citizens, businesses, police foundations will be able to buy the book, you know, for schools. And to be able to work with kids, police department, you know, police officers will be able to come out and read with those kids. If you want me to be able to come out, whether, you know, to your state or locally to a city here in Washington, to read to your kids, we can work that out.
I'm just waiting for somebody to get them there. And that's for people of all levels of leadership. As a leader, you don't need a title. You just need one person to follow you. And trust me, everybody, I could probably say that with 99% confidence, everybody has someone following them. You deserve it. You deserve to give yourself the best chance opportunity to grow. And if you're not out there going after it each and every day, trying to get better, you're going to fall short. And if you want to create this environment of great leadership, great culture, great opportunities for the people around you, it starts with you as the person. If you don't understand that, you're always going to find yourself frustrated. So for me, going back to the person, the leader, is one of the things I love to talk about. And it's one of the things that I think really builds leadership as a whole. My man, John Maxwell, said it, everything rises and falls on leadership. But even before that, everything rises and falls on that leader's ability to lead. If you don't develop that, you're not going to get there. And I don't believe in people are born as leaders. Now, I believe people are born to learn in a certain way. But every single person, when you truly look at them, they've learned something. They may not tell you that they've taken this training or they had a great mentor in their life. They're just going to say, oh, I was born this. No, no, you were not. So what does that tell me? That you have to grow yourself every single day. If you want to see that growth, if you want to see that development, you have to build yourself with it. I'm creating a company, an organization called Officer Wellness Group. Yes, okay. It's that simple of a name. Because what I'm realizing as I talk to more agencies, more conferences, more associations, they're always looking for people that talk about wellness. And the Officer Wellness Group, we're not just talking about resiliency. We're going to have people that can talk about spiritual wellness, physical wellness, like my man Derek was talking about earlier, financial wellness, which I got a guy, Lamonte Bynum, that's all over that right now. Every single level of wellness that sometimes we don't think about. I want to create a place, and I am creating a place that you can say, you know what, you click on the website, you go to trainers, and depends on what you're looking for, you're going to find it there. So keep an eye out for that. I'm hoping to launch that within the next 30 days. And now I should give myself a deadline. That's on me. But I should have said 6 months, but I played around and got excited. So it's 30 days. So I will have that website launched in the next 30 days. And my